Dr. Vashna Jagannath, the founding director and CEO of Imfundo Hub and also former deputy dean at Rhodes University, created an education platform to address the educational crisis we are experiencing. The idea is to make education more accessible. She takes us through her journey of creating accessible, budget-friendly educational material for everyone, regardless of circumstances.
I actually went to work in a trade union running schools, educational courses. The schools I ran were international schools, largely dealing with political education and using a popular education pedagogical approach. I think that education, sort of popular education, as well as political education, is an incredibly important part of education for activists, adults, and so on. So I used to train activists from across the continent. We used to do it usually in French, English, Portuguese, Swahili, and Arabic. And we used to often have, you know, I've trained hundreds of activists from across the continent. And I think my sort of work within education really took a turn. You know, I'm a mother, and so it really became important to me when working with my son and seeing how much of work and labor goes into educating a child. But realizing that most people in South Africa don't have the knowledge or time to be able to do this work and labor.
She further recognized the dire need for educational material to be created that aligns with the economics of the country and meets the needs of the majority of South Africans who are poor and working class. While connectivity infrastructure is still an issue on certain parts of the country, Jagannath explains how she has developed a method to bypass this at a minimal cost.
And so I created this platform, and the platform is called Umfundo Hub. And the idea is that we use WhatsApp as a tool to communicate all of the support material needed for kids from grade R right up to matric. And in addition to that, we provide the entire syllabus for all subjects from grade R up to matric that is CAPS aligned and the ones that's already used and approved for by the South African government. And we provide those electronic versions of those. And instead of going onto the website, instead of using your own data, instead of searching for it, we have curated all of that information and we will send that to you on WhatsApp. And every week, you as the parent and your child who is a user on the platform will be able to get all of this information, and we'll send you a weekly what to do list that's in line with the curriculum of the South African education system. And it'll say, for example, hello Sumeya, this week for maths, this is what you will need to study, sequencing. And then we'll have examples, we'll have worksheets, and already Sumeya would have the textbook with her electronically so she can practice it. But in addition to that, you get notes, you get practice worksheets. And then every exam period, we send the kids a whole sort of exam revision pack, which includes revision notes as well as past year papers. So you don't have to go and look for past year papers. It'll all be there. It'll all be on your cell phone. In addition to that, we have a website that contains all of this information. And we will also be sending through to kids, because in South Africa, 63% of households have no books at all. Textbooks, magazines, fiction books, books to read for recreation, there's zero. 78% of schools in South Africa have no libraries. So what we will be doing is every week, a child will receive 2 free books on their WhatsApp. And these books will be either fiction or nonfiction, or a combination of both, and it'll be age-appropriate books. So if you're in grade R, it'll be books that are teaching you how to read, for example. If you are in matric, you'll be getting the books that will be appropriate for your age to read in matric. And the idea is that, you know, the state is not providing it, people can't afford to buy books, but we will be using open source materials that are available, but we'll be bringing it right to your phone. And all of this we do for 30 rand a month, which is 0.056% of minimum monthly wage in South Africa. or it is for 300 Rand a year, which is less than 1 Rand a day. We are also looking to partner with different organizations, different working class organizations. And in these working class organizations and all sorts of organizations, we will be trying to partner them with particular corporates or people who would like to sponsor the kids. So for example, if we will partner with a particular school and just say they have 600 kids, we will then go out and find sponsorship for those 600 working class kids from the general public, from corporates, from any organization who wants to help out, so that those kids then can access the platform for free. We will also on the website have a way in which people can just come in.
Furthermore, she explained how the move also aligns with the convenience of technology to take learning forward while also being tailored for those who don't have easy access to connectivity infrastructure.
So people who want to get the app for their own child can do so, but they will also have a chance to be able to sponsor another kid who can also access the app. The reason why the app is incredibly important is because 50% of South African kids don't have access to textbooks, and we will be now providing everything to them. It's almost as a way to kind of circumnavigate around the problems of delivery that the South African state has. The reason why we have chosen WhatsApp as a platform is because WhatsApp is incredibly cheap in terms of data usage. For example, Facebook uses about 1 gig of data in between 20 to 40 minutes, whereas WhatsApp takes 1 gig of data for 30 days. It uses it for 30 days. You can send 1 million messages. And we know WhatsApp data costs 29 Rand a month. So it's incredibly affordable and cheap, and it's right on your cell phone. So you don't need specialized devices or anything like that. And this has largely been one of the failures of EdTech in South Africa, is that you've constantly needed all these specialized devices or high data costs. We are getting past all of that. So even if you're in rural Eastern Cape and you're able to buy 29 Rand data, then you are able to get the information onto your cell phone.
While charity begins at home, tackling and bridging the gaps in education in South Africa first, her story becomes more interesting as she works to expand her educational material to Rohingya Muslim refugees. Additionally, she adds that once this material is fully developed, it could easily be accessible to those suffering in Sudan, the DRC and Palestine. As we know, several Gazans have struggled to keep up with education as the ongoing Israeli aggression deprives them of their exams and attending classes.
In terms of how I've developed learning materials to think about helping communities and refugees, like, for example, the Rohingya Muslims. In that case, I was approached by Comrade Shabnam Mayat, who I've known for a good few years now, and she's worked a lot in that area. And actually, this was her idea. And so we've partnered together to think about how to get material. This is still in the early stages. I'm still developing the curriculum because I obviously have to speak to people who are there. It's a whole lot of logistical issues. And we would like to be able to do it digitally for them, creating videos and so on. So people can access that material whenever they have access to internet and things like that in the refugee camp. This curriculum that I would develop will be highly and very easily converted to help any other communities of people in Sudan, Congo, Palestine, anywhere in the world where people are struggling to access knowledge. And I think, you know, it's incredibly important that we need to have education reaching people. Education is the basis of how we build a decent society in the world. It's a basis of how we lift ourselves out of poverty.
Jagannath concludes by sharing her sentiments on the importance of education, no matter who or where you are from in the world. She believes that education fosters a healthier society. She also uses geopolitical examples by citing the US's Donald Trump, known to use business tactics to achieve certain goals within politics, and explains how this can create an impacting ripple effect on the world at large. She adds that an education that can speak to humanity breeds a more competent society, able to make well-informed decisions.
I mean, in my own life, my grandmother, my nani, she was illiterate. She only spoke English and Zulu. But I'm one of her 8 granddaughters. And we all have managed to really create a very sustainable life for ourselves. And we've done this through education. All of us are very educated. And our parents made that sacrifice for us. And it's really made a difference in our life. And so I really believe in this. And I think, you know, if we look at the world today, one of the biggest problems, and I don't think this is incidental, done, is the lack of access to education. There is so much education in the world, but it's actually difficult to access. There's barriers placed in front of us continuously to access this. And even if you just look at a place like the United States of America, I mean, the education levels in the United States of America is incredibly low. And it's not because they suffer any structural problems like we do in South Africa, but it's purely because as a state, the sort of dominant forces in that society, they've understood that if you have a highly educated society, they would not necessarily follow the latest populist leader around, that people will make really informed decisions for themselves. And I think someone like Donald Trump is a direct outcome and result of the failure of the education system in the United States and the promotion of popular culture that is incredibly dumb, that is incredibly dumbed down. And it's all about spectacle and sort of instant gratification. And what that has led to is people voting for someone who is incredibly dumb, but can create a spectacle, who is a clown and who performs like a clown. I'm not saying that intellectually he's a clown, because I think he knows exactly what he's doing, but he is a clown in the sense that that's the role he's performing. So he can do all of these really, really inhumane and horrible things in the world. And this is direct result of the lack of education in the United States, where people vote for someone who can give them the laughs, the spectacle, until it's too late, and then it's not a joke anymore. And so I think if we can really invest in education that, yes, we learn skills, we understand how to do things in the world, we understand how to operate, but we also develop an education system that speaks to our humanity, that allows us to grow as people, we will then have a much better society. And, you know, education is long and hard work, but it also can be quick gains, because once you have an educated population, you have massive changes in society. And we've seen this across the world. If you look at the progress in Norway in 1949, Norway was an incredibly poor country. But look at a place like Norway today. If you think about England after World War II, and the sort of education programs that were put in place really, really led to the upliftment of the poor and working class people in England. And this is something we really need to consider. And we really need to consider its impact in South Africa, where it's vitally important. But we also need to consider its impact globally and look at the amount of children that have been denied an education. And we need to use technology that is out there to be able to put that technology in the service of the majority of society rather than the service of the few sort of techno oligarchs like the Elon Musks or Bezos of the world. We need to take that technology, which is produced by all of humanity, not by individuals, and we need to put it in the service of humanity.
VOC News, I'm Kutha Sambo.